Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400, KKZZ, Ventura County's Inspiration Station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
Control, a body, a soul. Don't move too fast, people just take it slow. Don't get ahead.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. What a great night last night. I'm sorry both of you weren't able to be there, but it was amazing. Met amazing people. And if anybody was listening to our show yesterday, Todd Packin was there. We were talking about finding happiness. And I am so glad that you are joining us here and starting your day with us here on Kim Pagano Show. I'm your host, Kim. I'm here with Jeannie Michael from Valley Alarm. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm so sorry I missed that last night, the mixer. It just sounded so good.
It was. It was really great. I mean, we had a huge turnout, and it was really good. It was just, you know, it's weird when all the right people just show up. Even though you guys weren't there, I wish you would have been able to be there. But all the right people, I mean, it was just really passionate people. So
everything clicks.
Yeah.
It's one of those magical nights.
You just got to trust what you're doing is the right thing. And when it shows up like that, you know, you're doing your best. So anyways, I want to definitely thank everybody that was out there that came for that down at J. Hamilton Winery, a really cool little place out there. It's like a hidden treasure. So I want to invite you to listen to our show here. It's called the Kim Pagano Show. I'm on every morning from 8 to 9 and 1 to 2 right now. I know there's doing some scheduling changes, but for right now, we got Matt on our board. How are you, Matt?
Doing good, thank you.
All right. So our phone number here is 805-639-0008. And if you ever need to get in touch with us when we're not on air, you can reach us at 805-419-0008. And if you would like to be a part of my show, I met so many people last night, just, you know, people that want to advertise or talk about their journey or, I mean, there were so many journeys there last night. Really cool. Just different people and so many giveaways. That's really what I love doing is just giving back. It's all about giving back. It's about learning about somebody else's journey that can just really give you the strength to carry on.
Just getting together like that, you meet so many people and you're just like amazed that there's so many different, you call them journeys, but there's just so many jobs and ideas, and you find out who you can really click with, and you say, oh, wow, I know about that, and we can maybe help each other out. It's really a win-win.
You know, it's funny. I call it journeys, but a lot of people last night called it
a good name.
Their paths, their paths in life, you know, and sometimes things aren't always easy, but you know what? If you know that the sun's going to shine no matter what, then it's all good. I mean, and really that's what happens. You know, it gets dark at night. Sometimes there's dark moments in our lives, but then the sun always rises the next day. And, and really we just have to have trust and hope and desire to always want something better. So
you said they call it the past?
Path.
Oh, the path. Yeah,
that's different paths in life.
The same, like journey.
It's, yeah.
Sometimes you don't know what your path is. You just put one foot in front of the other and take care of you, and it seems like everything else kind of falls in place.
It is. And, you know, and as life kind of carries on, you just have to be gratitude instead of saditude, you know. And you just have to enjoy, because I think that was the biggest thing that Todd was talking about last night, is that this is our this is our gift. We were given this birth date. We are here and make every day count.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I want to let everybody know, if anybody's just tuning in right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim, your host. I'm here with Jeannie Michael, Valley Alarm, and we got Matt on our board. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. My website that you can listen to all my back shows and, you know, see pictures, get to know us, get to see what we're really about at KimPaganoShow.com. And also Facebook, like us. Know, you'll see all the different things that are happening. A lot of my sponsors, a lot of my friends, a lot of my, you know, connections, they all put things up there. So that's Kim Pagano Show. And Twitter, Kim Pagano Show. In fact, for some reason, it was hacked this last week. So
no
if
way.
Anything was sent out, you know, I apologize. So that's all up and running again. So, you know, things like that happen. It's just a little hiccup in the road.
I'm just getting used to Facebook, okay?
I know. There you go. But you know what? I have to tell you, the social network, you know, it's funny. Last night, I was like, how'd you find out about this? And they were, you know, oh, we looked at your website, or we saw it on Facebook, or we... And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, my God. You know, sometimes we think that you don't know any of those people.
Right.
You kind of... to have different people, you're asking them to be your friend mm-hmm. or your contact or whatever. But it was really cool when you got to meet, you know, I got to meet probably 20 new people that were on Facebook, that
right.
Facebook me that I hadn't met before.
That's right.
And that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I'm shooting for 500 by the end of this. Well, let's see. Are we halfway through our month? Yeah. By the end of next month. So we're up to about 410 right now. So,
wow.
Yeah. So
perfect.
So that's what we're doing. But I want to remind everybody, of course, I'm in Ventura Breeze. I'm in Coffee News. I'm in just partnered up with Parent Click. That's another great website for parents to find out what's going on. And we're going to be bringing them on and talk about all the great stuff that they have going on. And then we have different authors that come on and talk about their books, their journey, different guest speakers. So if there's a topic that you are looking to learn about or you want more knowledge on it, I would love you to get in touch with us here to let us know what you want to hear and make sure that we're getting it out there. Right now, we actually have Daryl Gurney, and he's the founder of CareerGuide.com, a 25-year career advisor as a coach, speaker, and workshop leader. And, you know, with so many people right now, it's been kind of a hard time in life with recession and things.
Yes.
I think things are starting to come around a little bit, but a lot of people are out of work, and
mm-hmm.
The rules have changed.
Yeah.
You know, they really have. And it's funny because there was a lot of people last night at my workshop and my, you know, meet and greet is what I kind of called it, that were looking for jobs. And that was one of the places that they came out. And they were sometimes you get so down. And how do you go out and sell yourself when you're down? So I'm really excited to be mm-hmm. talking with Daryl Gurney. Daryl, yeah. Are you there?
I am, Kim. How are you this morning?
Very good. How are you?
I'm great. Beautiful day.
Well, thank you. And where are you calling from?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh,
not that far.
Good
okay.
for you.
We should have had you come on in. all right. So tell us a little bit about your findings and who you are and what you do.
Well, I've spent the last 25 years as a recruiter and a career strategist. I've authored multiple books. I'm the founder of CareerGuy.com. I spent 15 years as an executive recruiter, and my first book was about how to use headhunters, how to make the best use of recruiters. And my new book, Never Apply for a Job Again, is all about how to become your own headhunter, you know, to kind of manage your own career. You talked about how, you know, things have changed, and that's right. One of the things that's definitely changed is that, you know, the days of old where, you know, and recruiters are still a good tool. There's definitely still a good tool, but what I found in 2001 when, you know, the last recession came about is that, you know, people didn't know so much how to manage their own careers outside of a recruiter finding a job for them. And, you know, whenever there's slow times, recruiters don't have as many jobs to tell people about. And so I think it's always better for someone to, you know, manage their own career, be in charge of who you know and where you go.
So you're really for the networking, correct? correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm a little bit wary of that term, I'll just be honest, because whenever I lead workshops and, you know, I'll ask people, okay, how many of you network? And everybody will raise their hand and not everybody, but those that do, and I'll say, well, tell me how you network. And someone will say, well, you know, when I get laid off, I let people know that I've been laid off and to let me hear of anything.
Oh.
Now,
okay.
That's not what I call networking.
Right, yeah.
You know, because one of the things I say in the book is you got to be careful. If you ask people to let you know of anything, that's probably what you'll find.
That's
anything, right.
Right?
But what I am very much big on is what I call a stealth or backdoor method of connecting and creating relationships. You know, so the front door has everybody competing against each other. Everybody's knocking on the door of that, you know, posted position or that available opportunity, and you become one of 10,000. But whenever you have a systematic and paint-by-numbers way to go about getting to know and to be known by people in your areas of passionate interest, that's where news opportunities and doors can open for you that would never happen through the front door.
I totally agree. And, you know, I think that, you know, last night we had an amazing mixer. I had an author come out, and we had about, I don't know, there was probably close to 60 people that we put together in like 2 weeks. And it was amazing because different people gave different things away to promote their business and just to network. And, you know, I love it because it's another way of connecting. And mm-hmm. there are so many incredible networking mixers out there. And
well, yeah, there are. There definitely are. And one of the things I loved about what you said, too, when I just got on, was you talked about how you're putting faces to all these people. That,
right.
You know,
right, exactly.
And so one of the most critical things, I think, is that people bring high touch to the high tech. Because there's so many, you know, people that we're, quote, connected with. But I'll tell you what, not until you get in front of them and you get that, you know, kind of bonding thing going on, you know. That,
you are so right. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. You're right, because it is almost like a fake. I mean, I think of, you know, how many people you touch on Facebook or on your internet or that kind of thing. But until you meet them, you don't really know them.
Right.
You can't feel who they are.
Right.
And so it's a non-emotional social network.
Well, I think you get both by this new age when you can read. It's sometimes harder to put things in words, so you actually get to hear an inside version of them where then you meet them in person. Like when you're hiring people, you take something off the net, and then when they come in, we don't just, you know, talk to them for 5 or 10 minutes. We spend hours and test them and talk to them and see if if they click with our environment.
Right. And what I'm really big about, because, you know, you talked about this event, and again, getting out and, quote, networking at events is very valuable, very viable, okay? That gets you exposure. One of the things about Never Apply for a Job Again that I get into, though, is that it's not just about going out and just going to groups and networking, but it's actually like one-on-one, you know, mano a mano, you know. How do you get in front of the people in your areas of interest, the leaders in your industry? You know, a lot of times people may feel a little bit apprehensive even to get out into big groups or something. But there's ways that you can actually, you know, like I said, systematic ways that you can go about getting exposed to. You know, one of the main ways is don't be looking for a job. See, principle number one says the best way to get a job is don't be looking for one.
So almost like you can't, it's kind of like when you're looking for a mate. You don't want to be desperate.
Absolutely. You know, need and desperation works in job search the same way it does in dating, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So you get to know them and you start talking, and the next thing you know, they're saying, oh, you do that? Oh, wow.
Well, exactly. But the thing is again, it's really not a trick, but one of the big things I have to do with people is de-despertize them, okay?
Oh,
have people realize that what you really need is information. You really want information. So what we want to do, see, principle number two says an ounce of research is worth a pound of job search.
Mm.
So, in other words, what is it you really into and passionate about? What do you want to know more about? Let's get you out talking to people about those things. See, people will make 5 minutes, you know, to talk with you about something if you're really doing authentic research. If you're knocking on the door because you need a job, people don't have time. And it's not because they don't want to help. It's just that nobody wants to be in a position where they may lose. People want to win. They don't want to lose. So if you approach them from something you need that they may not be able to give you, then they don't have time. If you approach them because they're a, quote, expert, and you're calling upon that expertness to guide you or give you some information, people will give you 5 minutes. And you can build from that 5 minutes a relationship that, as you just said, opens up news, opens up opportunities, and has you top of mind with people.
Oh, I like what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I
do
really,
too.
Yeah. And you are your own advocate. You know, so when you're in there and you, you know, you don't have to go sell yourself, but if you start off, it's almost like the sandwich, right, where you compliment them, you get some information, mm-hmm. and then you thank them, correct?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. I actually, I spell out a systematic way to have a, what I call a stealth meeting, and you can, this definitely applies to stealth meetings, but people can even use this, any of your listeners today can use this. If you have a traditional front door interview, here's the best thing you can do when you go into an interview. Be interested rather than interesting. Start out the meeting with something like this. Hi, you know, so great to have an opportunity to meet with you. And I've, you got a lot of questions, you know, based on the research that, you know, I'm doing. And I'm sure you have questions for me. But before we even get into this, tell me, how did you get into this?
Right.
What
opened up the door.
This field?
Exactly.
You know, and if you look at them like a rock star and you listen to every word with bated breath, they will talk about themselves for 25 minutes. And guess what? You're building relationship equity when you listen to them.
Right. That's true. Love it. I love it. And if anybody's just joining us right now, which I am so glad you are here starting your day with us, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Jeannie Michael. We've got Matt on our board. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. We're talking to Daryl Gurney, and he is the founder of CareerGuy.com. His new book is... I'm looking right here.
Never apply for a job again.
And, you know, I think that that's, you know, it's really, it's kind of like that reverse psychology. Mm-hmm. Fake it till you make it, you know. I mean, I use that in my life every single day. And you have to kind of almost picture yourself already having that job, knowing what your passion is. But I love what you're saying, and don't make it all about you. Make it all about them.
Well, I think so many people make that mistake. Like, even just watch the news, you know, when they'll do an interview, and there's good interviewers and they're not. Like, they will actually ask the question to get that person to talk about their journey and how they are interesting. And before some of the news interviewers, before they can even get it out, interrupt them, or they're so busy talking about, oh, yeah, and I did this or that. I'm like, shut up. Let the guy talk. You know?
Right, right.
Yeah, and it's amazing what it builds. See, one of the things I spell out, as I said, in this, you know, whole approach to how to conduct a backdoor meeting, is that you build relationship equity because when, look, people don't get heard today. People don't have time to talk about themselves, right? And so, you know, because people are so busy, right? Just like you said, people get interrupted in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that if you listen to someone and you're really authentically interested, two things start to happen. Is subconsciously, they start liking you.
That's right.
People love to be heard. And number two, there's this. There's a great book been out for many years called Influence by Robert Cialdini. And he talks about that when you give something to somebody, there's this natural compulsion that they want to give something back to you. Well, subconsciously, you're giving them a gift by listening to them, by being interested in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so subconsciously, there's this sense of beholden that starts to happen with them, which is something like, okay, you've done so much for me. What can I do for you?
Right. Now, do you think that when you're, you know, let's go back to you have an interview with somebody, you sit down in front of them, and do you call them back to see what, you know, what are some of the basic things that we would normally do?
Okay, well, let's talk about two types of interviews.
Okay.
We'll talk about a front door interview.
Okay.
So a typical front door interview is where there was a position available and you decided you wanted to apply for it and you wanted to compete with every other Tom, Dick, and Harriet out there, right? And so in that kind of interview, you sit down in front of somebody, they're going to have a lot of questions, you're pretty much kind of letting them take the lead because, quote, they're the, you know, the employer and you're the one who, quote, needs them. You know, there's this whole psychology that comes around being in the, going through the front door, right? And in a front door situation, then when you leave, yes, you're going to follow up, always follow up, and you're going to, you know, kind of just follow up once a week or something to find out, you know, and it's kind of like you're the one kind of pawing at them, right, through a backdoor meeting, okay? You're the one who set it up. They didn't set it up. You reached out to them and you said, you know what, you're an expert in this area, you know, I'm really fascinated about this, and you have some real granular research you're doing. I'm really looking into this and trying to find out more about this. Would you be able to give me 5 minutes of your time? And you followed up to get them on the line to set an appointment. And you're the one, it's not like you're running it, but it's kind of like you're definitely not low man on the totem pole. So you're in there because you brought it about. You get them talking about themselves. You get some questions answered. And then what you're going to do is you're going to, first off, as part of the whole, you know, series of the process of a backdoor meeting, is after you've gotten them talking about themselves, you've gotten them to know more about you, you're going to say, do you know any other people, you know, that could be as helpful as you've been? And so you're going to get referrals, okay?
I love where you're going with this. I do, too.
Yeah, and then you're going to say, hey, you know, can I stay in touch with you? I may have other questions that come up, and I'd like to stay in touch. And what you're going to do is you're going to set up at least once a month a regular follow-up email or call that you're going to make to them with some other questions and some follow-up, and you're going to let them know what's been going on with you. And guess what? You're building a relationship, which then has you top of mind with people.
Mm-hmm. I love where you're going.
Yeah,
if anybody's just joining us right now, we're talking to Daryl Gurney, and he is the founder of CareerGuy.com. But his book is Never Apply for a Job Again. So if anybody is out there and they have a question for Daryl right now, if you're, you know, you just say, hey, here's my situation, and I, you know, I just want your opinion on something, give us a call at 805-639-0008. So that you would call the back door, correct?
Yeah, that's what I call the stealth or backdoor method of creating relationships. That's about getting known and being known by people in areas of influence. I mean, I could tell you stories of how people have made entire career changes out of this method. See, one of the other things through the front door is you can't make a career change through the front door. See, through the front door, your resume is going in, and the HR, you know, they have their checklist. Have you done this? Have you done this? So, you know, you have to have done it before, okay? Through the back door, though, through relationships, look, we all know that people will bend rules for people that they know and like, right?
Right. That's true.
So through the back door, if your focus is on gaining information and building relationships, what happens is people have made entire career changes doing something they never could have done if it had been, you know, a front door type situation.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I like that.
Very true.
That is so a front door, would you say that is just the basic, you know, fill out an application, that kind of thing?
Yeah, front door is how we all grew up. It's that default mechanism where when we're out of a job, it's like, okay, what's open? You know, used to when we had newspapers, you remember newspapers?
Oh, yeah.
We still have a couple out there.
The classifieds, right?
Yes.
Right.
But now people go online, or they, you know, they see what's on the different job boards, or they a friend tells them, you know, I mean, it's good if a friend tells you there's a job available, but if it's public knowledge already, then you're competing with every other Tom, Dick, and Harry out there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to point out, too, if I can, if we're waiting for some listeners to call in, I'd love it if your listeners would call in. I'd love to answer any questions people have about their career or if they're going through a career transition or a change. But the subtitle of the book, it's called Never Apply for a Job Again, Break the Rules, Cut the Line, Beat the Rest. And I do this whole thing in the beginning of the book about the rules.
What are the rules?
Well, you know, there's certain rules that we grew up with that were kind of ingrained by childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other rules that we've kind of inherited just through life experience, you know. You know, one rule says, don't talk to strangers.
Yeah.
Right? and what one of the things I do whenever I lead a workshop for people who've been laid off is during lunch, I tell them, okay, go out and create 3 conversations with people you don't know.
Right.
Right.
Now, that scares the heck out of some people, right? But what has happened so many times is little miracles come about where somebody went outside their comfort zone, they create a conversation with somebody, and, you know, it ended up that person was in their field, and they got their resume, they interviewed the next week. You know, look, when you're in Starbucks, you don't know that that person in front of you or behind you is not the brother-in-law of your next employer or client.
So
or
that's true. Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't talk to strangers as something we want to let go of. You know, don't speak until spoken to.
Well, and that's
right?
Those are more for children anyway. It's like we have to remember that we are adults, and adults need to talk to people in order to actually survive, I think.
Yeah, but you'll be amazed how many people still live with these ingrained.
No, not really.
No.
Here in California, I think it's pretty obvious.
No,
don't
there
you?
Is a lot of people. I have to tell you,
yes.
I'm a hair therapist, and there's a lot of people that when I leave to go fix their color or whatever, I introduce everybody, and
sure.
by the end of the time, I have everybody talking. And I just think that it's so important. You never know who you're going to talk to. Do we have Rob on the line, and he has a question? Rob, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you so much for calling in.
It's a very, very interesting guest you have.
Oh, great. Well, thank you.
We think so.
Yeah. I saw somebody that a couple of years ago, the large healthcare company I worked for closed their office locally and laid off me and hundreds of others. Particularly my job, my particular database design project was finished. And, you know, I guess it's common when you're a programmer that your project's finished, they lay you off for a while. But, I've been teaching at local colleges and schools, but the problem is it doesn't seem like much opportunity for a full-time position there with the current economy and public education funding. I'm considering maybe going back to the private industry. Is there any thoughts about the process for doing that?
Well, yeah. You know, Rob, here's one question I would ask you. Did you love what you did in programming? Did you love the kind of work you were involved in?
I love problem solving, but I also love teaching too. And
okay.
In fact, I would continue doing it at night, you know, even if I got a full time position, you know, again, programming, design databases or programming.
Okay. So where would you rather be right now? Would you rather really be on the teaching side of things, or would you rather be on the program side of things if you had to pick one or the other?
I think at this point I'd like to go back and catch up on where things have happened and technology and so forth.
Okay, great. That's going exactly where I want to go with
it. And I love where you're going because you're talking about his passion.
Yeah, what's going on right now? You said you want to catch up on what's going on. What is it that most fascinates you about what's going on in the programming arena right now?
There are a lot of different things. Of course, a lot of it has to do with the data mining that's going on with databases. You know, it's but there's a lot of things happening, you know.
Okay. Well, let's take that one for example, okay? So around data mining, who are the big players right now in that arena of data mining? Who are the big players, whether it be organizations like companies or whether it be particular, programmers, that are, you know, or professionals in that arena that are really experts at that?
Well, obviously, a lot of the large healthcare companies are doing it. Like, for instance, I recently saw that IBM's Watson supercomputers being used for data mining for cancer research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also heard that the CEO of IBM says that their future is all about analytics right now, too. So, you know, that totally fits. And given... So here's what I would say is, you know, come up with a list of 10 companies that are really excelling in data mining like it's their future. And IBM, I think, would be a perfect one because they're all about analytics right now, right? And then what you want to do is start doing a little bit of research, you know, get into the company websites, you know, search to find who are the people that would be two levels up from a level that you might go in at, okay? So in other words, if, you know, you would go in as a senior program analyst or something, senior programmer analyst, then who would be I don't know if it'd be the VP of analytics or if it'd be the director of, you know, IT in this particular area, okay? And then what there is to do, and again, I spell this all out and never apply for a job again, the exact letters that you write, you know, what is a letter that you write to them that is all about what fascinates you, what you're really interested in, and calling upon them because they are a, quote, expert. You really have to have them feel that they are an expert. They're the only person on the planet that could help you in finding out what you want to find out more about. Now, what I would say, Rob, is get very granular about what you want to find out. Don't just have it be like, I'm real interested in what's going on in analytics today. Could I meet with you? Go about three levels deeper in terms of what you really want to find out. And then you send a letter. You know, I say send a letter. I mean, if you don't know somebody in today's world, you send a letter, you stand out. Don't try to email somebody you don't know, okay?
I can tell you that works from our business. Definitely, that
right.
works a
and
lot.
And I want to just tell you, I had a text from somebody, Amgem. Have you thought about that?
Hmm. Yeah. You see, I mean, you know, that's right in your area as
right.
well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, here's the thing. You know, come up with your, you know, top 10, and, you know, and you can include Amgen, you know, anybody, put them in there. But it's not so much necessarily, I mean, you want them to be in that field. It's not necessarily even so much about what organization they're with, because here's what the key is. The key is connecting with them, creating a relationship with them, as I spell out and never apply for a job again. And then what happens is that all of the people behind them become available to you, too. See, it's kind of like what happens with our friends on LinkedIn and all this stuff. You connect with somebody, and they've got this world behind them. So, Rob, if you can be getting known, you know, by some research that you're doing, I'm just saying that people know about you because you're out there talking to them, then what happens is every point you connect with, then you've got all of their world that becomes available to you, too, as you cultivate a relationship with them. And what I say, Rob, that will do for you is that will then start getting you connected with people in the field of your passionate interest. And if you cultivate those relationships, you can't just have a meeting and forget about these people. You know, every month you got to send a follow-up. Hey, I just wanted to let you know what's been going on since we met. Here's what else I found out, or here's who else I met with, and here's what's going on. What happens is you'll be top of mind. Then as opportunities or whatever arise in that area, you're going to naturally hear about them. Does that make sense, Rob?
Certainly does, uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it's incredible. And mm-hmm. you know what? You have to go in almost just, I'm really interested in your company. As soon as, like what you said in the very beginning of our interview, is you said when you're opening up the doors to somebody else and letting them tell about their world, you've already got them. You know, I mean, that's where you've got them in. Mm-hmm. You've got an in, and now they start to learn a little bit about you, but you make it more about them in the beginning.
Well, yeah, the whole thing of the stealth method, you know, now people have said, well, what if I need a job like tomorrow? You know, this can't help. And I say, well, look, I said, the front door, you've been doing the front door, and as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working?
You got it.
That's
yeah.
right.
But I say that, you know, if you're focused, and if you really are focused on just getting connected, it's not about producing a result. The only result you want to produce is that you now know somebody and they know you. And I'll tell you, even starting tomorrow, you start having those kind of meetings and creating those kind of relationships, you know, within a week, two, whatever, stuff can start coming your way. But again, it's like you got to get focused on relationships and outside of the need and desperation of panting for a new job. And Rob, I think you're in a perfect place because, you know, you've got something going on. This can be a side thing that you're developing. It's like you're what I call a career campaign that you're developing that over time will bring you, you know, you know, like I said, I can tell stories. Maybe I'll want to tell. I could tell you a great story about someone who made an entire career change through this background, you know, through this approach.
But I like what you're saying about first, get, you know, find 10 companies
yeah.
that would have your interest, and then work on those companies. Go to the website, see where they are. Where's the local area? Maybe go for coffee around that area, because, like you say, there's plenty of Starbucks. There's a lot of breakfast places, and a lot of those people, if you'd even get one that you can connect with, you know, hi, good morning, or whatever, and then you
right.
find out that they work there, oh, my gosh. And you've got 10 companies, so that's 10 people, and who knows?
It goes back to it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yes.
Well, it just helps. It all helps. I like your approach rather than the front door is good, but I just love your idea of you're actually networking, but you're also finding out about actually if you even want to work there. What if you talk to somebody and they talk about, oh, I hate this place and blah, blah, blah. Yep. Well, you can check that off your list. You know?
When I lead workshops for people, I'll ask, I say, how many of you have ever gotten into a job where you wish you had had a lot more information before you took it.
That's right.
Oh, that's
everyone
right.
Everyone raises their hand, and I say, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. then what you want to focus on in this approach is information.
That's right.
That's really what you want.
You're gathering.
Exactly. And as you're gathering it, you'll be making the connections. But if that's where your focus is, you'll be a lot more available for people, and they'll be available for you versus the pawing and scratching, you know, to compete with everybody else through a front door method.
Mm-hmm. The combination of all those ideas, I think, is just awesome.
Yeah, it's
also,
just... Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, also, another possibility that occurred to me is that my alma mater, Stanford Engineering School, has, I think, the ability to contact people in that area. Is that also a good thing to pursue?
Oh, my God. I didn't know you were still. Oh, my God.
Well, there we go.
That's right now. The red lights are going off, right?
Yeah.
So, absolutely. I mean, you, Stanford, Thunderbird, Harvard, you know, so many of the alumni organizations, like, really, really depend on those alumni organizations. So, very often, and sometimes it's the smallest thing that can get you in to meet with somebody. You just got to show some sign of connection, whether it's mm-hmm. something you're fascinated about that they're into, and therefore you're approaching them because of that passion, or I noticed that you're also an alumni of Stanford. Now, you want to throw in some more research, too, so it's not just about needing a job. I notice you're also an alumni of Stanford, and, you know, I'm doing some research on this and that, and I just wondered if you might have a few minutes. I'd love to touch base with you about that or see who you may know. Absolutely. You've got, you're tapped into one of the best alumni networking organizations there are out there.
Yes, there is.
Rod?
Yes,
all right. Did that help you?
It did. Thank you very much. Yes.
I wish you a lot of luck, and I'm so glad that you called in. Really, there's so many people out there that I know. You know, it takes a lot to call in.
I was going to say, right there is the first step.
But that's it. You got to be out there. You got to think out of the box.
Well, you know what? Let me say something before Rob leaves, because you're exactly right. It's so funny, you know, like this morning, I'm opening up my lines as a career strategist for my people on my subscriber list to call me and just to chat. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing how people very often won't just, you know, to step out in, you know, to make an actual connection. But I got to say, it's that little connection. Getting outside of the oblivion of just being part of a subscriber list or a friend on a Facebook, you know, mm-hmm. account or something like that, it's that little connection that can open worlds. And that's actually one of the rules that you just broke, Rob, is one of them that's in, you know, that we kind of get from life experiences, don't stand out. See, you know, life in so many ways, we kind of learned, oh, don't stand out, you know, like maybe we answered a question wrong when we were in kindergarten or something, and it's like, oh, I'll never make that mistake again, I don't want to stand out, right? But to stay, you know, in this economy, in this kind of world, and the economy that we're going to stay in, okay, the economy will never be, quote, the way it was before, is that you have to find ways to stand out. I'm very big on personal branding. I'm very big on, you know, like even if you're in a Starbucks, and you create a conversation with somebody in front of you or behind you, you stand out a little bit because most people are so afraid of rejection and they're so caught up in their silos that, you know, they don't reach out like that, and you'd be amazed. So I just want to acknowledge you, Rob, for, you know, just standing out.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. It's great.
Thank you. Yeah, I tell my students the same thing, is that don't be afraid to ask what you might think is a dumb question, because so many others in the class will be so glad you asked. Because
that's right.
So
You're the leader.
That's right. So true. Well, thank you. You know, it's funny. Last night, Todd Packin from, you know, Boston had called me up. He'd been on my show a couple times, and he's like, I want to come out. I want you to put together. I'm like, oh, my God, I never did that before, you know. But it was amazing. And so it's like, okay, that is one of my dreams. I got out of the box.
That's right.
If everybody makes that step to mm-hmm. do that, you're going to be amazed at what you find. So,
well, you just said something, Kim, that in a workshop a couple months ago, this kind of came out of my mouth, and I went, wow, that's good. This thing about getting outside the box. And when it comes to our careers, whether you're looking for a job or whether you're building a business or you're looking for business partners or clients, whatever, mm-hmm. it's critical to get outside the box.
No matter what you do.
Well, the first box being your house.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, I like that.
The second box being your computer monitor. Get out of that computer. The third box being your PDA, that little iPhone.
Yeah.
Get outside the box and go connect. See,
that's right.
Our social media technological world has people believing that they can, you know, live as a silo. And look, we're participatory, you know, connection kind of beings. And that's where, you know, things open up for you.
All right. Well, I love it. And again, Rob, thank you for getting out of the box, you know. And thank you for listening to my show every day.
I enjoy it. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Good
and
luck.
Share me with all your friends. Okay. All right. Well, gosh, this has been incredible. I definitely have to have you back because I tell you, this is where it all stems, because when you find what your job is, and I say that as a job because that's what people know it as, but when you find what you love, it no longer becomes a job. And passion, mm-hmm. when you're finding your passion, it just is so easy to do it.
That's right.
So, Daryl, are you there?
I am, and if I can just say something about what you just said as we
sure.
wrap up. Here's a little story about a backdoor, okay? A client came to me one time. She was a VP of marketing for Pac Bell, big telecom company. She knew she wanted to make a change. She figured the only thing possible for her, as most people are myopically focused, is just to be able to do what she's done before. She could only be in marketing, only with telecom, right? She was Jewish. She was very into her culture, always wanted to do something in Judaism. But it was kind of like, you know, hey, I'm in big corporate America. How could I ever make that kind of career change? So she went through a program with me where we got her in touch with her patterns of success that stretch beyond any, you know, industry. You know, it's kind of like her essence. Then we branded her, got her personally branded. And then I got her out just talking to people about what fascinates her in her area of interest, okay? So she's out talking to people in Judaism and talking to, you know, all these things she had never done before. She ends up becoming the executive director of a nonprofit that trains bomb-sniffing dogs for Israel.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a leap, huh? That's great.
Yeah. God.
That's great.
You know, we actually have our next guest on, and I as much as I don't
we hate
wanna,
to let you go.
I know. This was amazing, and I want to have you back, Daryl. I'd love to talk to you also, you know, another time to put something together. I think it would be amazing to work with you.
Wonderful.
So.
Wonderful. And if your listeners want to check me out at Career Guy, G-U-Y, careerguy.com, I have some free e-books there. They can download 10 New Year career resolutions. All that's available.
Okay, great. All right. I appreciate you being a part of my show.
Thank you, Kim.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, gosh, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today on my show, which I call the Kim Pagano Show, Adding Value Every Day in Every Way. We actually have our next guest, and we are going to be talking about dog trainer, competitor, life coach. That would be Ginger Jenks, and her book is Wag, Live, and Love, What Dogs Teach Us About Happiness and Life. And she's got some wonder dog stories that, you know, I guess, well, let's invite her on. And Ginger, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Kim.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Very good. So talk to us a little bit about your passion.
Well, I have two passions. One is executive coaching, which is what I do for a living, and the other is dogs. And so I train dogs. I compete with dogs. I have three beautiful Samoyeds, one of whom I bred. And so getting out there and helping people understand how dogs add value to our lives and how they can help us live our best lives is my third passion.
I love it. You know, I have four animals, two cats, two dogs, two kids, or two boys, two girls. But, you know, there is something about animals. And as you get older, there is something that they give you. It's that unconditional love. And I can see, I was reading through some of your stuff, and you're talking about kids that with special needs, how dogs can really add to their life and almost just kind of be there for them no matter what.
Yeah, you know, I think it's dogs' special gift that they can open us up in ways that other human beings can't necessarily do. And so for children or even adults with special needs, I think that, number one, that acceptance can just sort of help a human being blossom. And the second is, with a dog, they connect us to each other. So when we see someone with a dog, people tend to gravitate towards you.
There,
right.
Yeah. In fact,
with a smile on your face.
Yeah. But even all the dog parks.
Right.
It's amazing. They're in their element. And then what a great place for other people to meet. So it's another, you know, there is a connection there.
There's also another area where dogs are used, because I have to be involved with this right now, where you go to convalescent homes.
Oh, yeah.
And homes for the aging. There are people that volunteer and they bring their three little tiny dogs or sometimes large, and they're well behaved. I mean, they're trained for this, and I can't tell you, the people just love them. It's like their friend. They wait all week to see them. It's really heartwarming.
Absolutely. Two of my Samoyeds, Rory and Imp, are both certified therapy dogs. And,
In fact,
they won the Southwest Colorado Red Cross Animal Lifesaver Award a few years ago for just that kind of work of going to a local nursing home. And, you know, sometimes I'll poke my head in and say, would you like a dog visit?
Oh, my God, and, they love it.
Well, the family members might be there crowded around their bed, and they're like, no, we're here, go away. And the patient will push them out of the way and say, I want to see the dog.
Good.
Yeah, I love that. I met this lady a couple weeks ago. And she had said she has, I guess, a dog that, what do you call it?
The therapy dog?
Yeah, therapy dog. And she said that she brought it into this woman's room, and she was bitter. She was upset, and she would never let her in. And towards the end, she said, oh, I just wanted to have her go in one time. I know she would love it. And it was, I think she was almost to the end of her life. And she finally said, all right, fine, just come on in. And she kind of cried. And she said, why didn't I let her, this dog, into my life a lot longer, a lot sooner? And so I think that some people are a little afraid from their childhood or, you know what I mean? But if they get that feeling, there's just nothing better.
That's right.
Well, and that's why it's, you know, really important to have a well-trained dog, to be responsible about them so that, you know, people can have that experience without negative emotions attached. And one of the stories in my book, Wag, Live, Love, is See the World as a Friendly Place. And I did this experiment 10 years ago. I live in Durango, Colorado, which is it's a small town. It's a friendly town. And I'll preface this by saying, you know, I'm probably a little more open and friendly than the average bear. But I walked down 6 blocks of Main Avenue in Durango to see how many strangers would smile and say hello, right? It's that thing like in New York where they say, you know, if you smile at somebody, people are suspicious. So I did a count, and 6 people out of 40 smiled and said hello back. But then I repeated the experiment with my dog Rory next to me. And in that case, 38 out of 46 people smiled or said hello. 22 stopped to pet Rory and actually had a conversation.
Isn't that amazing?
That?
Wow.
I think that's pretty compelling.
Yeah, I think that is too. I mean, that's, you know, for older people that want to meet somebody, there you go, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even younger people, anybody, it's definitely a conversation, and they're your friends.
So is that, how do you go about training a dog not to, you know, is it a certain kind of dog you look for not to snip or, you know, be
great
barking
question.
Or too hyper? Or?
You know, that's a great question because there's over 180 different breeds of dogs. So number one is, you know, get a dog that suits your lifestyle and what you're looking for. So some are bred to be guard dogs, and those are, you know, ones that you do have to be responsible about. Other dogs, you know, can be over-the-top friendly, and so you want to know where the dog comes from. So either, you know, from a good shelter who's done good screening or from a good breeder. So know the breed and know where they're coming from. And then from there, you know, you want to make sure that the dog is trained, that they don't jump on people, that, you know, that they're good with children. So my breed, Samoyeds, is tremendous with children. Children can yank on their ears and whatnot, but not every breed, you know, is going to be tolerant of that.
I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Ginger Jenks, and her book is Wag, Live, Love, What Dogs Teach Us About Happiness in Life. What is the difference between a therapy and a service dog?
Great question.
Thank you.
So a service dog is for a person with special needs and is for just that person. So the dog may be trained to open doors, pick up the telephone, sense when a seizure is coming on, or help a blind person navigate the world. A therapy dog is a dog who can interact with everybody. Mm-hmm. A service dog is, A, number one, more highly trained and is for one specific person. A therapy dog is designed to go out and be essentially a goodwill ambassador.
Yeah, be Mr. Friendly, right?
Hospitals, nursing homes.
Right.
Wow. And can you train? Do you have to professionally have one trained, or can anybody do it?
Anybody can train their dog to be a therapy dog. Again, if your breed is, you know, a reasonable breed to do that, who enjoys interacting with anybody and in large groups of people.
So Is it mostly little dogs or big dogs or?
Oh, no, no. It doesn't have to be little dogs at all. Certainly that can make it easier if somebody wants to hold a dog. But,
right. You
know, my dogs are all around the 50-pound range. And some people like that because, you know, they don't have to be so careful with them.
Okay, but you said before that your dog was certified. So do you have to get them certified or does that depend on the county or state that you live in?
Generally, you do want to do that because, for instance, my dogs are certified through the Therapy Dog International. And so they carry liability insurance, and your dog has to first get a canine good citizen certification through the American Kennel Club, and then they are certified by a evaluation person from that organization.
Uh-huh. Wow, very interesting.
And that gives the hospital or school a level of confidence that you're not bringing, you know, a crazy, wild, untrained dog in.
That's right.
Now, Ginger, if somebody was wanting to either, you know, kind of go and find a therapy dog or have a service dog, where would they go?
Well, you know, there was a great article in the New York Times Magazine a few weeks ago on an organization called Four Paws for Agility.
Yes, I actually know.
Ability,
that,
not agility. Sorry.
You're right. Yeah.
Important distinction in Ohio. And that's a service dog organization. And Therapy Dogs International has a website, but their local kennel club will usually know which dogs are certified for therapy as well.
Okay, great. And so if we want to find your book, where would we find it?
WagLiveLove.com is a website that's sort of a launch pad for the book. So there's a blog, there's videos. The website is designed for anybody who wants a shot of happiness in the arm. And the book is also available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Wow. I love it.
All right. Well, I can't wait to read it, and I love it. I really am very passionate about animals, so thank you so much for being part of our show, and if you could keep in touch with us to let us know what's going on, I would love it.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Bye-bye.
I got it. All right.
Okay.
Well, gosh, we actually did not we didn't take any of our commercials and all that stuff, so we're going to do that at the end of our show, but it was so interesting. Yeah. So,
a great show.
Well, Jeannie, thank you so much for being
You're
a
welcome.
Part of my show. Matt, thank you so much. Thank you to all my callers. We actually only got Rob on, which was great. At least we got somebody on, and but great interviews today. So I thank everybody for being here. Of course, if you missed any part of my show, listen again at 1 o'clock. And also thank you for everybody that I met last night. Just a big shout out to that.
And you're going to do it again, right?
I am going to again. We've got series coming up of different things. So definitely, if you are interested, become a fan on Facebook or email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. And I'd love to hear from you. Of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment. And today's is, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. And really, you know what? Every day is a new day. And I mean, every hour, every minute. You know, all you have to do is concentrate, really visualize what you want out of your life and make it your very best. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. You have a really great day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, honey, what's wrong?
I just finished meeting with the realtor, and she says we can't sell Dad's house without a court order.
What do you mean?
The realtor said we had to have a probate. It can take more than a year to complete and cost more than $20,000.
What are we going to do?
I'm attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who did not plan accordingly. A probate proceeding can cost families thousands of dollars in wasted costs and attorney's fees, leave families feeling helpless. Let me show you how I can save your family thousands with a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free 1-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
I'm Andrea with Hometown Insurance Services. Allied Insurance is a member of Nationwide Insurance Family. Allied will discount your premiums up to 23% if we insure both your home and auto together. Allied also offers many occupational discounts. Please call Hometown Insurance today for a free, no pressure, no obligation quote. Call us at 850-0380 or stop by our office at 4517 Market Street, Suite 1B in Ventura.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollar. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999. With a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
Did you hear John down the street passed away? He was so young.
Oh, man, wasn't he a single father?
Yes. I have no idea what they're going to do. What would we do if that happened?
Ooh, who would take care of our kids?
We really need to get a plan in place, but where do we even start?
I am attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who do not plan accordingly. Making a plan to help your family in the event of a tragedy is very important. Let me help you by answering all your questions and show you ideas on how to plan, not for future events, but to protect your family from waste and bad investments through the use of a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Vigano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Vigano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
Hi, it's Kim, and I want to invite you to listen to my show, The Kim Pagano Show.
Join us weekday mornings at 8 to listen to The Kim Pagano Show. Kim talks about everything from beauty and health to giving you tips and tricks for living a beautiful and passionate lifestyle. We interview experts from an array of industries and talk about their personal journeys about marriage, finances, kids, recipes, fitness, and everything in between, adding value every day in every way. Kim's a hair therapist and a mother of four, and so much more. You can tune in. Call in. Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 9 a.m. and again in the afternoons from 3 to 4 p.m. Get your daily dose of Kim on the Kim Pagano Show, right here on AM 1400 KKZZ.